The misery never stops for the 2022 San Francisco Giants, who at the time of this recording just lost their seventh straight game against LA. I believe I saw a note. It was the first time in 15 years or something that the Giants had lost that many games in a row to the Dodgers. So it's a miserable time right now if you're interested in the 2022 playoff odds, but our attention has kind of shifted to younger players and the future. And so we're going to get into that. The Giants made a move for the future, and Joey Bart has been better. All of that next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And coming up on today's show, man, it's like our attention is slipping from the 2022 season and the Giants' playoff odds. Their schedule does soften up a little bit. They obviously are continuing this nightmarish stretch against the Dodgers, and then they play Oakland for two, and then they go to San Diego and have to see that whole scene with Juan Soto. But with the A's and then all these teams after the Padres, the schedule is actually soft. Not that the Giants have been able to take advantage of that all season long, but it's kind of their last good chance to really make up some ground, so we'll see if they can do it. So one more game against LA, just try to salvage a game. My goodness, the Giants have just been embarrassed by their rivals, and it's been hard to watch as fans. And so yesterday was kind of the first time we started to look at what is worth watching on the 2022 Giants, and it's kind of changed. I think that we're not quite there yet. The Giants aren't like eliminated from playoff contention. They did lose another game in the standings. They're 5.5 games out now, out of the third wildcard spot, and there's two teams ahead of them for that spot vying for position there, so they'll have to pass two teams in order to make it. So it's unlikely, and Fangraphs has their odds below 10%, but we switched our perspective to kind of looking towards the future, and you've got players like Joey Bart, who we're going to talk about later, who's been much better since being called back up, and we're going to get into some of those numbers. But the Giants also made a very significant move yesterday, putting Bryce Johnson on this roster. Now, I have been receiving Bryce Johnson questions in, you know, mailbag episodes, and the reason I don't get to them is because the question is often asked, like, when are they going to call him up? And the answer is, I have no idea, but they finally did it. So Bryce Johnson is known for his defense in the outfield and his speed, which is obviously something the Giants do not have a lot of on their roster. So they add him yesterday, and they had to add him to the 40-man roster as well. And so I guess there was an open spot with the trade of Kurt Casale, and so they didn't have to DFA anyone, but he's on the 40-man now, and it's just a very different type of player. And what, you know, like I said, the kind of report on Bryce Johnson is that it's mostly a speed and defense profile. Like, part of the reason I never even got to the question was because when I look at the AAA numbers, he's never really put up outstanding offensive numbers, although he does represent a different kind of player on the Giants, not just from the speed and defense perspective, but from the standpoint that he's a guy who consistently runs above average batting average on balls in play, meaning he's not. The Giants just have a lot of these players who actually run below average on balls in play, and the way that they kind of get to their offense is by hitting the ball out of the ballpark and drawing walks. So there's a lot of walks, and power is the way that the Giants have tried to construct their roster, and not so much kind of guys who just slap the ball all over the field, use their legs to beat out some balls that other guys don't, which obviously the Giants, I would say, more than most teams, do not beat out balls that maybe even average runners could. So for Johnson, you're going to get contact Not that he's a super contact-oriented player. He does strike out a fair amount, but he's going to be a guy who kind of sprays the ball and gets hits at a higher rate than we're used to seeing when he puts the ball in play. And so I don't know exactly how much offense you're going to get out of him, but hopefully he can be a guy who makes a difference with the glove in center field and with his speed. And so what's very interesting about this is to see if he sticks around, because the Giants have this very significant roster crunch coming up with all these players who are on the injured list. There are a lot of guys currently on the active roster who you could see like not being on the active roster. Like, for example, Dixon Machado, who has come up in numerous important situations offensively and not been able to do anything. And I don't think that's much of a surprise. And also with Bryce Johnson, I'm not sure that we should expect great offensive numbers. Although I must just point out while we're talking about Bryce Johnson, this year in AAA, 24 stolen bases in 28 attempts. Last year in AAA, 30 steals in 34 attempts. So he's been a very good base stealer. And the report, I haven't seen him play almost at all. I don't watch a lot of minor league games, but the reports that I've heard and seen are that he's a difference-making runner. Like, he's a problem on the bases. So he didn't get on base in his Giants debut last night, but hopefully we do get to see some of that and see the defense make a difference. But the question is about, like, what does the roster look like when all these guys start coming back? Because do they keep Bryce Johnson on the roster? This was like a question from earlier in the year with all, you know, with Luis Gonzalez. It was like, well, they've got these veterans coming back. Do they add a struggling Tommy La Stella at the expense of Luis Gonzalez? And the answer was yes. And the question now that they've fallen mostly out of contention, they're still alive, but they're kind of on the cusp of not even having a shot. And the question is, what are they going to do? Are they going to let the young guys play, or are they going to continue to give playing time to these older veterans who maybe aren't so much a part of the future, although some of them are under contract, like Brandon Crawford and Tommy La Stella next year? I'm not sure that this Tommy La Stella contract is going to be able to be played out. It's just been a disaster. I wanted them to sign La Stella. I defended him forever, including this year before he came back. And it's just been more of the same of what we saw last year. He has just not been the player the Giants expected. This was obviously not what they were expecting when they signed Tommy La Stella. So it's no doubt been a disappointment. He is currently on the roster, but when they add all these guys back, I've got Brandon Crawford, Jock Peterson, Tyro Estrada, and Evan Longoria all set to come back, according to Gabe Kapler, within the next few days. And so what are they going to do when they add those guys back? Because that's four additions. You've got to take four guys currently on the roster off the roster. So who will they be? I'm going to speculate about that momentarily. But first, whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools to let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. And I love the convenience of being able to do this online. Who wants to go to a jewelry store anymore when you can get that same personalized expertise from home? Big game changer for me. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And going on now is the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale. Save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right, we are going to talk about the roster crunch that's coming up, and I'm hopeful that they're going to start making some different decisions than what we've seen over the last couple years when they've kind of sided towards protecting their inventory as opposed to just thinking towards the future. Because like I was just saying with Tommy La Stella, He is under contract for next year, but, you know, we've seen some moves around the league, even just in the last couple of days, where veteran players who are underperforming and are looking past their prime very much so are getting cut. Like we just saw Jackie Bradley Jr. get DFA'd by the Red Sox. We just saw Didi Gregorius get released by the Philadelphia Phillies. And so I'm not so sure that the Giants aren't going to do something similar when it comes to this roster crunch, because they've got, I counted, there's somebody else who's on the injured list currently. There must be, because I counted that they need to make five decisions here in terms of getting guys off of the roster. So as I look through, I'm not actually seeing who the fifth is while trying to do this on the fly. But we do know the four. You've got Peterson and Crawford set to return on Saturday. That's the Giants' next game after this finale against the Dodgers. They have an off day on Friday. So Peterson and Crawford on Saturday, Tyro Estrada on Sunday, and then good chance, quote by Gabe Kapler, good chance that Evan Longoria returns during the Padres series that starts on Monday. So not necessarily in game one or even game two, but at some point in that series, we'll likely see Evan Longoria. So that's at least four guys there. And how do they fit on the roster? Well, when I look at the guys who could possibly be taken off this roster, who make some sense, I think David Villar is in some trouble, because Evan Longoria coming back and JD Davis, I don't think is going anywhere. He had a pretty nice debut. He blasted a ball into right center field off Craig Kimbrell in the ninth, and it looked like he thought he got it. He thought it was a homer, and it wasn't even close into right center, triples alley. So that's just, you hate to see that for a new Giants player to immediately get treated to the rude reality that this ballpark is just impossible to hit in at certain times. And this year, it's kind of gone back to that, whereas in the last couple years, it wasn't. And I always made the case, it's not those, whatever you call them, things that they put in the arcade in right field that made the whole difference for the ballpark playing more offensively. That doesn't make any sense. If you're talking about center and left, it just doesn't make any sense. And I think it had more to do with the baseball, which has clearly changed this year. Offense is down across the league. Home run to fly ball ratios are down. Like last year, 15% of the fly balls the Giants hit were homers. This year, it's like 11%. And league-wide, we've seen that same type of trend of a decrease. So anyway, JD Davis isn't going anywhere. He's going to be on this roster for the rest of the season. But so what do you do? Well, I think Dixon Machado is like the most obvious guy on this roster. He cannot be optioned, but I don't think that they care. He's probably a DFA candidate. As soon as Crawford comes back, arguably they might want to wait until Tyro Estrada is also back. So Saturday or Sunday, we'll probably see a move made with Dixon Machado. I mentioned David Villar. So you've got David Villar, who's playing first base today against Clayton Kershaw. And so I think Kapler mentioned that JD Davis is going to be an option at first base and third base and possibly outfield and DH, but mostly first and third. So I think when Longoria comes back, they'll probably put Longoria at third and JD Davis platooning at first base if there's a lefty, and maybe DHing when there's a righty, because he doesn't have those strong platoon splits. So David Villar, this is where it starts to get a little tough, because you could make a case that you shouldn't be playing a guy like Longoria over a David Villar when you're, let's just say the Giants had been eliminated from postseason contention. In that case, if you don't view Longoria as a guy who's even going to be here next year, do you give him that playing time over a young player? And I would say no, except I'm just not that optimistic about David Villar. I haven't exactly been all season, even though he was just crushing it in the minor leagues. And it just, the performance simply just hasn't been that good since he's been in the majors. But if you're out of contention completely, I say play the youth and just see what you have for the rest of the season. But the thing is, they're not completely out of it. So maybe they wait another few weeks and just see if they can get hot. Just try to get hot. And VR, of course, can be optioned. So I would expect that he will be the next most obvious guy to go. You've also got Yermín Mercedes, who has an option. This is his last option year. And so next year, they'll have to make a decision on Yermín Mercedes. And then, of course, Bryce Johnson has options, but he was just added. And are you really going to take a guy like this that you just added to your 40-man off of your roster just because, like, Jock Peterson is coming back? And then Luis Gonzalez also remains a guy with minor league option ability this season. So I don't want to see Luis Gonzalez go off the roster. I don't want to see Bryce Johnson go off the roster right after getting added. But it is hard for me to see how they're going to add these four players without doing that. I mean, we got, okay, Machado DFA, I'm sorry, but he can't be optioned. It's obvious he's not going to stick. We've optioned VR already. We've got to do two more. I think Mercedes probably goes. And then what else? Johnson or Gonzalez have to go? So I would say, I mean, that's when it starts to be like, do you DFA a Tommy La Stella to clear room instead of optioning one of your younger players? And it's a tough question. And like I said, La Stella is under contract for 2023 at a hefty $11.5 million, even though this was a total of $18.75 million for the contract for 3 years, $11.5 million of it come next year. So look, it's a sunk cost, and if you don't feel like the performance is going to be there, then you should make a move. But they have not shown a willingness really to do this. They have held on to players who are veterans and struggling time after time after time after time. So I'll believe it when I see it. But I also just think, here's the thing too, they could go with 14 position players and 12 pitchers, which they may ultimately decide to do because there's a little bit more flexibility on the pitching side. They did option Sam Long and Jason Vossler prior to yesterday's game in order to add JD Davis and Bryce Johnson to the active roster. So they may even be going with 14 position players right now. Let's see, they've got 5, 8. Yeah, I think they have 12 pitchers and 14 position players right now. So actually that wouldn't solve anything. They're still going to have to make these difficult moves. And then also you've got a guy like Lamont Wade Jr. I think he was the other guy for me. He's currently on the roster, but he's just not performing and he doesn't have minor league options. I just don't know. I would assume he's not going anywhere, but Brandon Belt also hasn't been very good. It's just tough. Their roster is kind of a mess and they've got some decisions to make and it'll be very interesting. And we're going to find out soon to see, do they go in a different direction besides this approach that they've continuously had where they send guys out who have options, even if they're the younger, more future-oriented piece, or do they finally start cutting ties with some veterans who are just simply not performing and or might not be a part of their future? So that's something to look out for, and we'll have some answers next week. But for now, we're focused on some of these young players, and these are the most important players to the current Giants, including Joey Bart. So we're going to get into how much better Bart has looked since getting called back up momentarily. But first, if you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor, ready, delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Cookie dough is my personal favorite. And so this is speaking directly to my heart. These are absolutely delicious. Let me introduce you to your new favorite cookie dough chunk puffs. Have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein. You're gonna love the new cookie dough chunk puff, I promise you. Whether you need a snack for a workout, a late night treat, or just to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15. All right, as promised, Joey Bart. We talked about him yesterday, but he had another good game yesterday, and so I want to take a little bit of a deeper look at some of the numbers and make the case, as I just did, I think, that players like Bart are becoming the most important part of the rest of the season. And I want to see the Bryce Johnsons of the world. And there's even more guys. Like, I was talking with a friend last night It's interesting that they shipped off Trevor Rosenthal for a team that needs bullpen help, right? And Kurt Casale on a team that has Austin Wins not performing well. So it is like, what are they going to do? I think that you can make the case we're going to see some new bullpen arms down the stretch here, like RJ Dabovich potentially. Just guys you want to see who you think could be future pieces, and you want to kind of have them audition over the last couple months of the season. So I think we'll see possibly Dabovich, possibly others out of the minor leagues come up to the major league roster. And at the catcher position, we talked about, I think Ford Proctor may get added at some point over an Austin Wins. Wins just simply hasn't really done anything for the Giants at all. I mean, defensively, he's been okay, I guess, but he went like a month without an extra base hit. It just hasn't really worked out. And they'd probably want to, it's not like, oh, we must have Austin Wins on our roster in 2023. So if he's not part of the future, then maybe you get a look at somebody who could be. And I think Proctor makes more sense. And he's already on the 40 man after this trade with the Rays. So Joey Bart, though, at the time that he was sent down, he was hitting 156 with a 296 on base, 300 slugging. It was an 80 weighted runs created plus, and most importantly, perhaps, he had a 45.4% strikeout rate. So let's just stick with those numbers for now. Since getting called back up, Joey Bart has hit 273 with a 304 on base percentage and 485 slugging, a 122 weighted runs created plus, and a 33.3% strikeout rate. And so the strikeout rate alone going from 45% to 33% is a big deal, because 45% is just too high. But if you can, 33% is still high. The league average this year is 22%. And I get it. Catchers are worse. So comparing him to the league average, I just am trying to tell you what's normal for an offensive player this year. 22%, but catchers are worse offensively than the normal player. Just, they are. And we're acknowledging that. But anyway, from an 80 weighted runs created plus to 122, from a 45% strikeout rate to 33. Now, there's some weird kind of underlying stuff going on here. The chase rate before getting sent down was 33%, which was actually close to league average. The league average chase rate this year is 32%, so he was roughly average. Since coming back, he's actually chasing even less, which shouldn't surprise you given the overall numbers are improved, at 28%. His zone contact went from 71% prior to getting sent down to 76% after getting called up. However, the league average zone contact rate is 85%. So this was like, if league average is 85% and before getting sent down, he was at 71%. This means when he swings at a pitch in the zone, at what rate does he make contact with that pitch? And he was only at 71%. I would venture to say at the time that was probably, if not the worst, one of the very worst rates in baseball. So he's improved that from 71% to 76%, but it's still significantly below the 85% major league average. But what's weird is that his out of the zone contact rate prior to the getting sent down was 50%. And since getting called back up, it's only 35%. So he's lost 15 points on contact on pitches out of the strike zone. So overall, if you look at the contact rate, it's actually worse or about the same. But when it's on pitches in the zone, he's making more contact, and on pitches out of the zone, he's making less contact. And I would say it doesn't really matter all that much, especially if you're not chasing, you're chasing less than the league average player. And so a lot of this is probably just small sample size noise, and that it'll kind of get more normal and less odd. It is odd, but just to give you a reference point, the league average rate of contact on swings on pitches out of the zone is 64%. And again, Bart, since coming back, is only at 35%. but he doesn't chase very often. So again, I think it's a small sample thing. And before getting sent down, his contact on pitches out of the zone was 50%, as I said. So there's still not enough contact, but if he can manage to just continue to not swing at pitches out of the zone at a high rate and then make contact on pitches in the zone, I think that this is a recipe for success. And so far we've seen that. So Bart's development has been great to watch. And then defensively, he's just gotten better and better. He was solid pretty much all along. He's rated as an above average framer. Framing is important. Stealing extra strikes makes a big difference, as we see with the daily umpire scorecard reports, right? The strike zone makes a big difference in games. And so if you can get extra calls that go your way, it does make a huge difference because there's pitches. There's so many pitches in a game. So if you can get consistently above average rates of strikes when other pitchers are getting balls on similar pitches, you are adding a lot of value. And then with his arm, he has just been a different, he's throwing like everybody out. If he makes a throw and the pitcher gives him a chance, he's getting guys every time. And so just the leadership too, he's kind of emerged. The confidence has gotten better. So this has been a great kind of last month for Joey Bart, in a month that really has gone poorly overall for the team. But it's developments like this that are what makes 2022 worth watching the rest of the way if their playoff odds continue to slip, and will get us excited about 2023. But it needs to be more than just Bart. They need other guys to kind of break out a little bit and get us excited for next year. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Now make your second listen the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast Locked On MLB on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out a lot, so thanks in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be dipping into the mailbag again, so look out on Twitter for a post-trade deadline prompt, and we will get to a new round of questions tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.